That's fair. Hold on, I have to. You're gonna have to give me like 10 seconds.
Gotta finish that Taylor Swift song.
9, 8, 7.
Oh, six, he's the challenger. He'll explode 5, if you get to 1.
4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm happy with that joke.
Hello and welcome.
Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. I'll be waiting. I don't know the lyrics of this chorus, actually. That's fucked up.
I don't like that joke as
That's much. Fucked up. I don't know the lyrics of that chorus. Hello and welcome
dare you.
To episode the 240th of the internet's one and only podcast about comic books. We're the comics podcast, although this week I think we're the Taylor Swift podcast, at least for a little bit. I'm your host, Jean-Luc, and I'm joined, well, not by the full crew. Alex is out sick this week, unfortunately. But Chad is here, as always. Hell yeah, thank you for that. And Emily is here, back from the perilous assignment that we sent her on. Emily,
I've been doing intrepid work here on the ground, and I watched all of Riverdale today. Not all of Riverdale, all of the new season. I literally woke up, and the first thing I did was watch 4 episodes of Riverdale.
Yeah, this is why we had to send Emily away for a couple weeks, so that she could experience it all in the most, like,
I went pure to Riverdale. Fashion.
Yeah?
I was.
You know that show is, you know, the aerial shots for that show are filmed, like, 20 minutes away from where I live?
Oh, no shit?
So I've been to Riverdale.
Oh, hell yeah. That's interesting.
I actually didn't even realize that until one of my friends pointed out to me while we were watching one of the new episodes.
You could be anyway. In Riverdale. They could be flying over filming that, and you could be walking around as a little ant.
I think they filmed all of those shots in the first when they filmed the first season and haven't recycled them since. So it's very unlikely, unfortunately.
That tracks.
You know, you could lie to people. It's not that hard.
I could say
politicians do it all the time and make money.
Yeah, I could just like do a little like go into take a screenshot of it and go into MS Paint and like do a little red circle around some guy walking on the street and be like, "Hey, that's me. I'm an extra in Riverdale."
How could anyone prove you wrong?
That God, that's probably true. I would love to be in Riverdale. I like the show. I think that would be great. I think that is like if I were to be in any like film or television property, I think that one trumps, you know, all the rest. Even Star Wars, I would love to be an extra in Riverdale. I want to know the process of making that this stupid wonderful show.
This season's sure been a thing, hasn't it, John?
It's been a hell of what, 4 episodes?
Yes,
so far. The first three of which are just. Much like the last 3 episodes of the previous season, we gotta wrap some shit up real quick from the previous season. This season has, I think, so far I've been really enjoying it. I really love the time skip though in this new episode. I feel like it let them do they did so well. I don't think they could do this time skip, but. Whoever was directing this most recent episode was having a blast.
Oh, hard agree.
The Veronica scene where the dude is just like they're just trying to recreate Uncut Gems is
so good.
It's so good. It's such a good bit. Like they're just like Riverdale is very like from a, you know, cinematography perspective is very like, yeah, it's a CW show and they're not very artsy, so seeing them like do like all those like the shaky cam close-ups of Veronica like doing her best Adam Sandler Hustler impression is
Riverdale
just fucking choice, dude.
Riverdale is really at its best when it's trying to pretend to do something someone else has already done before.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, when they reintroduce Betty for the time skip, like, it's just the beginning of Silence of the Lambs. And I was like, is this just Silence of the Lambs? And then she gets to her, like, superior or whoever the fuck she's talking to, and their last name is Starling. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're just like, we're just going all in on this, aren't we?
Yeah. It's also funny that, like, that sort of corresponds with there's that new show about
Oh, yeah.
About the
Clarice.
Her Clarice, yes, about the character from the
three characters that they didn't try to use in Hannibal that they can use for this other show.
Yeah, exactly. And about like her trauma post the events of Silence of the Lambs, and it's just funny that would happen at the same time as they do the Betty experience the Silence of the like experience the like a traumatic event and is dealing with it in ways that are very reminiscent of Silence of the Lambs. Yeah, it is great. Also, the small thing for the new episode. So you hear about this guy called the Trash Bag Killer, who I guess just like wears trash bags all the time.
TBK.
And they just, yeah, that's what I was going to say. They just call him TBK the whole time.
Wait, no, I thought it was, I thought the Trash Bag Killer was because he like wrapped up the body parts in trash bags.
Well, yeah, so he does that. But there's also that scene where there are a couple moments where you see him. And there's that one where Betty has the dream and he's behind her with a chainsaw. And he's wearing a trash bag over his head, is he not?
Oh, I mean, like, I may not have noticed.
I bet the actual reason for it is because, like, he wraps he cuts the limbs off and wraps them in trash bags. But he also, I'm very certain he wears trash bags also.
I mean, I believe it.
Which is a fucking vibe, man. If I was, you know what? I get it.
Yeah, I like to believe that he didn't wear trash bags before, but then they started calling him the Trash Bag Killer, so he decided to lean into it.
He just leaned into it.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, hey, it keeps all the gore from sawing these people's limbs off with a chainsaw off of me, so.
Archie's fucking stupid football war dream.
Dude, the Archie, I want to know, like, the character of that war. Like, I want to know what war they're fighting. Because they say that this happens in 20... So, the time skip, I guess, took them to 2021.
Yes.
Because Veronica says that at one point.
Yes.
And I would very much like to know which war Archie, and by extension, the rest of the American, you know, war-making apparatus was fighting for 7 years. Like, was my man in Afghanistan? Because it doesn't look like it.
The impression I got is that they were just.
Hey, speaking of, we Afghanistan Taylor Swift on this podcast.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
I wanted to do that. You can continue now.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
though.
No, I think the implication is that like he went over to Afghanistan, even though it's a football field.
See, the thing is, though, is like I can't tell if the show is doing because he sees like all of his like football team friends like in the dream, right? So yeah. I can't tell if like they're doing it as like a metaphor type thing, like if the show is like trying to be clever of like, oh, he like envisioned war as a football game and it wasn't real to him, and that's how
the
he like compartmentalized his trauma.
Football,
yeah, or if they're just like the U.S. is just embroiled in like a civil war. And they just haven't mentioned it previously.
No, I'm pretty sure that this is just, like, a metaphor, because they probably couldn't afford to find somewhere to shoot that looked like a desert.
That looked like the Middle East, yeah.
Yeah.
They also apparently couldn't find contemporary props or costuming, so he looks like a guy out of a World War II movie.
God,
Which is also very funny. And, I mean, really plays up the, like, the fact that this movie the show takes place in 2021, and like they all like walk around with iPhones, but like their TVs are from the 1950s. Like nobody has like a TV that was manufactured past the year 1954. Which is great. I love the sort of like the dissonance that of all of that. I think it's a lot of fun.
It's sort of the opposite effect of Kirsten Dunst Marie Antoinette movie when she has Converse in her closet.
yeah.
Riverdale whips.
Riverdale whips
continues to whip. This season is insane.
It's great. I like Cheryl like further descending into madness. I like the show is like honestly very much mistreated Cheryl for the last couple seasons.
Absolutely.
As much as I love the bit where she keeps her dead brother's body In the house, and she
and Tony's only uncle. Like mildly annoyed.
Yeah, Tony's like, "Hey, that's kind of whack." And Cheryl's like, "Yeah, it is what it is, though, right?" And Tony's like, "Yeah, sure. The sex is good, I guess."
Look at Cheryl Blossom. Yes, of course the sex is great.
Well, yeah, yeah, obviously.
She's insane. I thought Cheryl Buttercup was the one who fucked.
What?
It's a Powerpuff Girls, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You've
been talking for like 10 fucking minutes without me. You expect me to just stay silent forever?
Well, that's what I do when you guys talk about anime.
Yeah, and we thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Because otherwise you get this.
I like the whole bit where she talked about the Winchester Mansion and then felt the need to reference the 2019 movie about the Winchester Mansion.
That was really funny. Like,
what is happening?
You think they got like advertising money for that one?
Do I think they got advertising money for a movie that came out 2 years ago?
No, I mean, like, do you think like that was like
Like the Blu-ray came out or something?
No, I don't think it's like a contemporary advertisement, but it's like, who fucking made that movie? Did they pay a little chunk of money to get like that reference?
That reference? Maybe. I mean, maybe somebody who worked on that movie worked on this episode as well and was like, hey, put that reference in there.
Give me some recognition for this shitty movie that we saw.
Exactly. I doubt that it's like the time they did the Bumble episode. where they like literally did get paid to like have a whole scene involving using the dating app Bumble. So, but yeah, no, the time skip is nice. I mean, I also gotta be honest, I'm a big fan of like, and I know that like this is still a part of Betty's plot line, but I'm a big fan of like, oh, it's not just like another serial killer for the sixth time in the show.
Yeah.
Because they sort of lean into that a little bit too much, IMO, especially in the last season, which is why, like, I enjoy, like, the first couple episodes of this season.
They gotta keep upping the stakes.
Well, yeah, but I think this is, like, an actual, like, good way to up the stakes. Like, this is, like, feels like more of the payoff for, like, the weird, like, ANCAP shit that was going on in season 3 with, like, the G&G cult. Yeah. Like, not the cult, but, like, not the actual cult, but like with the people who were playing G&G and they went to that town and it would like totally fallen into disarray. Like, I feel like, and like, you know, the lodges being involved in that, I feel like this is actually like better, is actual payoff for that. And granted, it's two seasons. It's like, it took a whole season for them to get there.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they're getting there. So never stop. Also, last thing from me, I love the fake out they do with Pop Tate. Where
I was just
Archie comes back to the diner and he goes down into the Bonne Nuit, which has been very much.
The White Worm?
Yeah, the White Worm. Sorry, my bad. they classed up the place. It's a lot nicer down there now. And he's like, "What happened to Pop Tate?" And Tony's like, "Oh, you didn't hear?" And then it's like a smash.
I thought that's
cut
why you were in town.
Yeah, and then it's like a smash cut to it goes through like all the other characters, and it's like a sort of where are they now thing, and you see them all. And then at the very end of the episode, they just walk into the diner, and he's just behind the counter. It's very funny.
Yeah, by the time they actually got back to Pop Tate, I had forgotten that I thought he was dead. So I was like, wait a minute.
Wait, what did Tony mean when she said, "I thought that's why he came back"?
His retirement.
Oh,
he said that in the episode. He said he was
retiring. I missed that then.
It was like literally one line.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's good to know then. Cool. Well, that's the Riverdale catch up. I suppose. So look forward to more.
I know it was 15 minutes, but, you know, there's been 4 episodes and we haven't talked about any of them.
Yeah, and you know what? Fuck it. It's adapted from a comic book. It's comics related. We're a podcast about comic books.
Unlike Yashahime, which is not based on a comic book.
No, it's not. Oh, is it my turn to talk again?
Yeah. That was a segue, Chad.
I watched some Yashahime yesterday and today. I think I'm caught up.
like all the way caught up or one episode behind?
No, because I don't subscribe to Crunchyroll, so I'm an episode behind.
Okay.
But, you know, caught up to the point I can be caught up. I really like the last two episodes because plot happened, though they killed the illusion guy a little too easy.
Yeah, it felt
like
a little
there was
too,
a lot of fuckery there. And then Kieran Maru doesn't seem like he gives that much of a shit, and Sesshomaru showed up, but that was really cool because I was like, fucking finally he's swinging a sword again. It's been a minute.
This is the first time we've seen him in, like, the present, isn't it?
Yeah, so that was neat. I like that bit. I like their... I have some issues with Mohara now, because, like, she's supposed to be the genre-savvy one, but then she blows all her cooldowns, like, right away in that fight and just passes the fuck out, and it's like, you should know better.
She should.
Your role is to know better. But it's fun, so I guess fine. And it's kind of funny when she just, like, passes out in the middle of a fight. It's like, I hope she doesn't get stepped on.
I love her.
She's pretty fun. So yeah, like, the last two episodes were good. They suffer from a lot of anime problems.
Yeah, that's
ones
this whole
specific
show.
Specific to this anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was sort of, I was worried we were just sort of, like, hitting a very middling stride there for a while, but these last two episodes have really picked up.
I like how they, like, Toa was like, it's a Mobius strip, and Setsuna was like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's the right answer.
Setsuna doesn't know what
you
math
should know.
Is.
That was the, I had a laugh at that. And then she's like, don't worry, I can sniff demon energy, apparently. If we stab here, we'll get out of it. And it's like, well, it's been 18 episodes. Where the fuck did this come from?
The sniffing demon energy? I feel like they brought that up before.
But like, I feel like they did it in a way that didn't make any sense. Like, the whole thing didn't make any sense. They're just like, well, we'll just stab the air right here and we'll get out of this after 5 minutes. Like, it was, the pacing of that fight sucked.
Yeah.
But, you know, you take your good with your bad when it comes to, this anime.
Or anime in general.
Or anime in general.
I was looking over the wiki for, one of the more recent episodes, and it used the phrase, their teenage mother, to refer to, Toa and Setsuna's mom, Rin. And I was like,
yep.
Could you just, like, be normal? Could you just use her name? Like, I don't know. That was just weird. I know that that's the case, but, like...
It's not something you want to advertise.
Yeah, it's like, why are you drawing attention to that? I mean, it's a fan wiki, so, like, I blame anime fans more than I blame the show, but I also...
I feel like I can blame anime fans for a lot of things. That's the fun of it. I mean, it's not, but we'll pretend it is. Today's a night for pretending.
Yes.
How have your guys' weeks been?
Pretty good.
Good.
I watched a bunch of movies last week that I had not yet seen.
Anything fun?
Yeah, I watched, I finally watched Moonlight, which I had not seen.
Oh yeah, and that movie's great.
That's a good movie.
Cried with my wife at the end. It was really good, and I really liked it. And yeah, God, it was fucking beautiful. I also watched, the Lupin, Chad, are you familiar with Lupin the Third?
I know the name.
Oh, is this the Netflix adaptation?
No. Lupin the Third is a manga, an anime that is also based off the same thing that the Netflix Lupin show is based off of, but in a different way. Lupin the Third, one of the movies for the Lupin the Third series, The Castle of Cagliostro, was directed by Hayao Miyazaki of Studio Ghibli fame, and it's a lot more, like, goofy and lighthearted than a lot of the other Lupin the Third content, and I watched that, and it was cute and fun, and I really enjoyed it. And the animation is really good, because it's a Studio Ghibli joint. And I also watched Thoroughbreds. John Luke, I finally fucking watched Thoroughbreds.
Fuck yeah.
I've been saving this and I almost forgot.
Oh my God, what did you think of Thoroughbreds?
I fucking loved it. What do you think I thought?
Yeah, I fucking knew you would love that movie.
It was so good.
It's brilliant, yeah. I've been meaning to rewatch that one for a while, actually. But yeah, no, that movie goes so fucking hard.
Yeah. Oh my God. And it was so crazy because, like, I kind of expected, just because of Anya Taylor-Joy acting career previous to this. Like, I kind of expected her to be the one. I mean, they both have mental problems, but I expected her to be, like, the troublemaker and the other girl to be, like, the nice one, just based on, like, the casting. So, that was interesting. Well,
I wouldn't say either of them are very nice, but...
Well, okay, you know. Like, you know what I mean. Like,
yes, appearing, she is the slightly more well-adjusted one.
Appearing to be nice on the surface, whereas... Yes. What's her name? The other one. The one that's not Anya Taylor-Joy. I've seen her in other things.
Olivia Cook.
And I expected her
to... Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy. But yeah, Thoroughbreds was really good, as I expected. I didn't expect... I felt like going in that I kind of thought I knew what the movie was going to be about, and so it was interesting that it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but in a good way. So, yeah. I liked it.
I also didn't really go into it knowing exactly what it was. Like, I just kind of thought it was a coming-of-age movie. Like, a normal one. Because I hadn't seen any trailers. I just saw it on a whim because, like, I'd seen The Witch and I liked Anya Taylor-Joy.
That tracks.
And I was like, okay, I should go see this. And Olivia Cooke was in something that I liked before that as well. So I just went and saw it and I'm like, oh, that's what this is. Okay, this is even better, honestly. That movie is fantastic. Highly recommend.
I mean, Olivia Cooke was in Ready Player One, but I know her from Bates Motel.
Well, Ready Player One was after
Mean Girl and the Dying Girl.
Mean Girl and the Dying Girl is the one that I knew her from at that point. I love Mean
Girl
and the
Dying Girl.
It's pretty good. She was also in The Sound of Metal, which I talked about a couple times at the end of last year, which is really good. But yes, she unfortunately was in Ready Player One.
Yeah, she was the girl.
The girlfriend, yeah, who, you know, is
Artemis,
widely hated because she has a birthmark on her face. I don't even remember if it's on her face or not, but
I watched one other movie of note. I watched a movie called Paprika.
Yeah, Paprika is really fucking good.
Oh, good. I did not expect you to have seen Paprika, but I'm glad that you have. I was going to say that if you hadn't, I feel like Satoshi Kon movies would be super phenomenal. Up your alley.
Yeah, no, I love his stuff. What's the other one? Perfect Blue.
Yes, Perfect Blue is so good.
Is really fucking good. And those are the two I've seen. I think I don't. Think I've seen
he also did the TV show Paranoia Agent, which used to show on Adult Swim. I've never seen all of it because I only caught it like whenever I happened to be watching TV and it was on, and also it scared me as a child.
Yeah, I have never heard of that.
No,
both Paprika and Perfect Blue are fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good.
And anime is watchable.
Well, like, I mean, Satoshi Kon is like known for being like an anime auteur.
Yeah. He's one of the good ones, as they say.
No, John, don't say that. That sounds racist.
Yeah, it does. That's not how I mean it. But yeah,
I know,
it does 100% sound that way. Cool. We want to talk about this Taylor Swift thing?
Yeah, what do you guys think about that?
What?
It's fun.
Yeah.
I feel like
By this Taylor Swift thing, I mean the re-recording of Love Story.
Taylor's version.
Yeah, Taylor. Fuck off with that shit. Like you're some.
No, it's Taylor's version. You will put respect on her name.
See, the thing is like, I do respect Taylor Swift, but I don't respect this Taylor Swift. If that's
what she's doing, just stick it to her record company. It's fucking awesome.
She can stick it to her record company. That's all fine and good. The song sucks.
No, it doesn't. You're a piece of shit.
this version of it is slightly better because, like, there's more like warm instrumentation to it. It doesn't feel like, you know, it was.
It's whiter. It's mixed bigger.
Yeah, it's better.
It's nice.
The problem being, of course, that you can't salvage lyrics that you wrote when you're 16, which is why most 16-year-olds don't get signed to record labels. So, that's my take on it.
I think that's a fine take.
I've only heard the Match.com commercial, but I feel like I got the gist of it. I like the instrumentation. Yeah. I think that it's cool that she's getting to, like, essentially remaster her own music.
Oh, she's not just remastering. She's, like, re-recording. No.
So I know.
Owns it all.
I meant like, more, like, crazy. I meant more in, like, I didn't mean remaster in, like, a literal sense. Okay. I mean, like, going back and doing what she would have probably liked to do from the beginning, but didn't get the chance because of her lack of experience. I wish she had called these, like, the director's cut or something. That would have been funny.
Yeah. I'm kind of concerned, like, not concerned, but, like, the Fearless is an album that's kind of too long already. She's adding, like, 6 more tracks to it.
This song is too long.
Well, I think that adding 6 tracks is just, like, these are songs that were left out of the original album, and, like, it's, I don't know, I feel like it's not a bad idea to give people a little something new in addition to, just the new instrumentation.
If I end up getting it, which is a 50-50 at this point, I will do what I did with Reputation, right? And just chop the songs I don't like and cut it down a little.
You should really...
I'm fine with that.
You should really make Spotify playlists for Chad's version, like the Chad cut of Taylor Swift albums.
How long is Fearless? It is 55 minutes.
I wouldn't know. That I've never listened to it.
That's a couple songs too long.
I listened to it once when I got into Taylor Swift and was like, oh, I was right when I was younger and hated Taylor Swift.
Did I tell you guys about my story about running into her at a frozen yogurt place in Nashville?
What?
No,
I've never heard this story.
I didn't actually meet her. It's just that I was in Nashville. I was getting frozen yogurt with my friends, and then suddenly Taylor Swift comes into the frozen yogurt place, and like we tried to sneak a pic. But she had some very large men with her that gave us very, very bad looks when they noticed that we were trying to sneak a pic. But she was there. This would have been before 2010. Or I mean, it might have been like 2010, I think, actually. Huh. Yeah.
So the Speak Nowadays.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm really excited for.
Because this was before I graduated high school. I graduated. Yeah. 11.
You graduated in 2007?
11.
Oh, 11. I was gonna like, I knew you were I graduated. I didn't realize you were that much older than me.
No.
Jesus Christ.
No, 11.
Okay, that makes more... Sorry, Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Chad, you graduated in 2007? That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So you graduated before Rebecca Black's Friday came out.
Uh-huh.
Nice, which I, of course, only mentioned
because
fucking remix. Yeah, the fucking hyper-pop remix with Dorian Electra, Big Frida, and 303, produced by one half of 100 Gex.
Yeah, I was watching the music video, and I was like, this feels very hyper-pop. And then I forced Gwen to watch the video because I needed to do that.
Did they
for
like
personal
it?
Reasons. And Gwen was like, if this song wasn't made or wasn't produced by Dylan Brady, I swear to fucking God. And so they were like, during the music video, looking up the writing credits on the song. And sure enough, this fucking...
Dylan Brady.
Mr. Gex.
Yep. I honestly think she went too far with the they went too far with the auto-tuning.
I agree.
Like, to the point where it's annoying. Like, I like a lot of hyperpop.
I would never listen to this song unless I was watching the music video.
Yeah. And, like, I get that that's, like, part of the joke. Because, like, everyone, like, got, like,
Chad,
shit on her when it came out.
You need to watch this music video.
I've seen this. I listened to this song.
Okay. Good.
I didn't watch the music video.
Oh, no, you have to watch the music video.
You should watch the music video. It's really good.
She rides
someone
in a car with a bunch
group,
of
like, linked it.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is amazing. And someone else was like, this is the most garbage I've ever heard. And I was like, I will be the tiebreaker. And I was like, this is actually kind of fun.
The biggest problem with it is the Dorian Electra and 303 features are not substantive enough. Like,
I agree.
The Dorian Electra saves the song, and then 303, but like is not in there long enough. And I think 303 also would have been nice if there was more of them.
Dude,
I like that Rebecca Black is still making music.
When 303, I mean, she's, showed
yeah,
up,
she's like an
I
influencer.
Like...
yeah. Well, it's funny. Have you heard the 303 100 Gex song?
No. Oh, yeah, I know who those people are.
The 303. So 303 is like an emo band from the early 2000s.
Do you remember that song, Chad? That it was like, "Don't trust a hoe, don't trust me."
Yeah.
Toe.
Oh well, it was like a big radio hit back in like the.
Do you remember that song, "Don't Stop Believing"?
Yeah.
It's fucking Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, they played. They performed it on Glee. That's why I know it.
God damn it!
That's not the reason I know it. I just wanted to make Chad angry.
Yeah, so they did "Don't Trust Me," and I mean they
had like other songs. Albums. That was just like,
but that was the big song.
That was the
and 100. Yeah, and 100 Gex is kind of like they're a duo. I think out of like Nashville or something. And they also they're like the duo that like I think like really skyrocketed hyperpop like into the mainstream. Like they weren't the first people to do hyperpop, but they were the ones that kind of like really brought it to the mainstream. One of my fucking favorite albums of the last couple of years is the 1000 Gex album. So anyway, they're pretty big in that scene. They did a song last year with 303 called "Lonely Machines." So this isn't like weirdly is not 303's first time dipping their toes into the hyperpop pond. Which will never not be funny to me. That 303 is, you know, making the move into hyperpop. But I mean, hey, one of the songs on that 100 Gex remix album is a Fall Out Boy remix of one of their songs.
I've heard that one.
Yeah, there's also the 100 Gex did a remix of One Step Closer as well that came out last month that is phenomenal.
That's hilarious. I haven't heard the
Linkin Park song. Yeah, you should check that out.
I'm extremely hit or miss with 100 Gex. Like
100 Gex, 100
I
Gex
like some
released.
Of the songs.
There's 100 of them. How can you miss?
I like they some don't, of, well, I like some of the songs, and then some of the songs I'm like, please turn this off.
Put simply, they do not miss. Their debut album is 8 songs or 10 songs, and they're all bangers. Not a bad one in the bunch.
Need more shorter debut albums.
Well, they are short. The songs are like all like 2 minutes.
I say
that just means in general.
Okay, yeah.
In general, but
I do agree with that.
Albums are too long.
Yeah. No, 1000 Gex is 23 minutes, and it's one of the best albums of the last.
Okay, that could probably use like one more song. That's basically an EP at that point.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect.
I mean, I'm not going to listen to it, so I guess I don't care, but.
You could listen to the remix album, which is 51 minutes, because all the songs get remixed like twice.
I'll pass. I don't think you could pay me to give a shit.
Okay, that's fair.
Honestly, you probably could. I'm kind of a whore.
Yeah. Everyone's got a price. Cool. Well, we've come to the part of the show where we can talk about comics if you would like to do that.
Sure, why not?
That's what we come here to do, nominally. So
I want to bitch about Radiant Black, the number one from Image.
Yeah. Okay, you didn't like it.
Oh, wait, can I predict what you're gonna say about it?
You can predict what I'm gonna say about it.
Okay. You really liked the beginning because you found it relatable in a weird way. And like it was like, oh yeah, this is like a good like slice of life story. And then he became a superhero and you hated that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's also, kind of what I thought. But then it kept going. And he was just like, he's bitching about his life, and he's like, the agent liked my thing, but I haven't even written chapter one. It's like, bitch, you don't have an agent. That's not how that works if you're an unknown author. And the people who write this comic should know that. Also, how has it been 4 years and you haven't written chapter one? You're not an... Fuck you. That's bullshit. That is such horseshit. I was so mad at that. It's like, you guys are literally writers. You're writing a comic. You know some level of the process. You know what works and what doesn't work. And you know that doesn't... That's not how that works.
I mean, I think that's legit, though, right? Like, I think he... Like, that's the kind of the point, right? I mean, he was, I guess, writing, like, short stories and stuff in that time. Because he mentions early on that he had some short... He has short fiction published. But he's just, like...
stuff, just not, like, the first chapter of his book.
Yeah, he's just, but then he's just like driving Lyft and Uber.
4 years? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that to me feels real. Like that's legit. Like that, he's a guy who just is like, yeah, I had to do other, like, it just got away from
first chapter in 4 days.
It just got away from him. Though.
I work a day job.
Yeah, but you works like what, 6 or 7 hours a day?
I did it when I was working 8 hours too.
Okay.
Like, I haven't fucking written more than one book.
Fuck that guy.
He's a piece of shit.
To be fair, he was also living in LA or something, in an expensive city.
Well, that's his dumbass fault.
Yeah, well, that was a stupid decision. Yeah. But, like, he was living
now
in
he's a superhero.
He was living in an expensive
fuck
city and had to, like, drive for Lyft and Uber to make ends meet, you know? Like, I get it. Like, I actually like that stuff about it, that he's like a guy who like had aspirations and dreams, and then, you know, he just
was a dumbass about it, and I don't respect that.
I mean, I don't think he was a dumbass about it so much as like,
I do. He moved to fucking LA when he doesn't have any prospects, and he sold a couple short stories.
I mean,
can't fucking eat on that.
I feel like the comic makes it clear that when he moved to LA, he did have prospects.
Right, like he was like a promising young writer when he moved to LA, like. He had short stories being published and he had an agent who was interested in some of his short stories.
I want to know how he's 38 grand in the hole though. Not yeah. How he's a superhero. One of those things is way more interesting than the other.
Well, I agree with that. I dislike the twist, but I like the human side of this. He's just like, there are plenty of people who like have dreams, like have aspirations and dreams to do things, and don't like have a plan about how they're going to do it. And so they make decisions, and then they end up like being just like brutally hit in the face by the realities of like living life in a world where you have to sell your labor to get by, right? Like, where he just, you know, he doesn't have a choice.
You're getting a little too close to home here, John.
Well, it's true, but it's true. I mean, that's what the book is fundamentally about, is like this guy who like he has to drive, and I don't want to denigrate like rideshare drivers.
But
working for a rideshare company
is not easy work.
But it's awful.
And it's not
well,
fun.
No, it's not, and it's genuinely awful because the companies treat you like shit. The people who get in your car for the most part probably treat you like shit. You make very little money. And like, and who knows if like that's even his only job? Like, I would be willing to bet the only thing he's doing isn't fucking driving for a ride.
Well, he'd have to have another job if he's going to try and live there.
Yeah. So, like,
granted, he is 38 grand in the hole.
Well, that, yeah. So, but like, I and people rack up debt really quick. Also, like, I mean, that is just credit card debt. But like, people rack up credit card debt super fast.
Yeah, like, especially
credit card debt.
If you're only making like your minimum payments, like that shit can rack up in the thousands.
Super fast, yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it might still be an extreme case. I don't have a credit card for exactly that reason.
How do you not have a credit card?
What do you mean? I live with as few debts as possible. I don't want to be indebted to the banking system. Are you fucking kidding me? It's the last thing I want. Also, what do I need a credit card for?
Well, you should probably have one so that you can, like,
you should have one to establish a line of credit if you want loans.
My credit score is super high. Like, I don't need a credit card to do that. Like, that's one of the big myths, is that you need a credit card to maintain your credit score.
When I was applying for a house loan, they're like, you know, you should have multiple lines of credit. It helps. So I have two credit cards, so I have multiple lines of credit.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
My credit score is even higher.
But it doesn't, though. It actually has the opposite effect, that it makes your credit score lower.
My credit score is very high.
So is mine. It's like almost perfect. But banks.
But that wasn't the problem. It was the actual lines of credit that you have, like, a history of being able to pay things off, because the bank doesn't want to just give you a shitload of money for a house unless they think you can pay it off.
Yeah.
Granted, you don't seem like someone who's going to buy a house, so.
Well, I would never be able to afford one, for one thing. But, like, I mean, like, I don't know. There is really no need to have lines of credit to maintain a high credit score. In fact, it is more likely to make your credit score worse. That's why banks use that as a line to try to sell it to you, is because they want you to go into, like, the whole fucking model of how banks make money is people going into debt to them. That is true. Like, that is the fucking business model. Like, I don't like my bank. They want you to run my bank. Yeah. They want you to run lines of credit, and they'll tell you, like, any fucking thing to get you to run lines of credit when you don't need them.
I will tell you, though, unrelated to this diversion we've got off into about credit and everything, it was weird to read this right after watching the newest episode of Riverdale, because Jughead is going through a very similar plot, and it was like, oh, this feels a little redundant.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely is. It's basically the same thing, except without the superhero part.
And the... Well, I was going to say and the credit card debt, but I guess we don't know that about Jughead. Well, no, we do, because the debt collectors are pounding down his door.
We don't know that he's, like, in credit card debt, necessarily.
Well, yeah, but
the loan sharks are... Yeah, the loan sharks are kicking in his door, so...
Yeah.
Also, for being a writer who, you know, wrote a book, and that book was successful, and he's, like, 3 years later, you know... It hasn't produced anything since then. It be that way for a lot of people, man. Like, it's just like, that's the way it is. Like, people have dreams, and capitalism has a way of destroying people's ability to attain those dreams, except for a few people who are either very lucky or in even fewer cases very talented, because
or born rich. Ultimately,
yeah, there are some people in that case who may be talented, but that's only a part of it. Anyway, I don't know. I also agree. Like, I know that it might have sounded like I'm really defending this book. When I'm not, I thought it was a mediocre first issue.
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was okay. Like, I think the main character is kind of relatable. I think that the superhero bullshit makes it way worse. But we'll see going forward, I guess. I mean, I like the part where he doesn't use it to, like, save people. He just goes to fucking rob a bank at the end. That part, that part's kind of neat, so...
Oh, was that the implication? I thought the implication was that there's a second person with that suit who robbed a bank.
That was what I thought, too.
Oh.
You're the only one with it, right? And then it just, like, smash cuts to someone robbing a bank, and I was like, oh, I bet there's going to be a case of mistaken identity in the next issue, which I won't read.
I liked that his friend was like, are you going to fucking arrest us?
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that
part. That was very funny. But yeah, I just thought this
was
okay.
Like, his friend was like, we should write something together. And I was like, I know those people.
Oh, I see what it is now. Okay. Yeah, it definitely, the guy robbing a bank is definitely someone else.
Okay.
Damn, that's way less cool than this guy just being like, I'm 30K.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping we get some dead rabbit shit, right?
I'm 30K in credit card debt. Time to go get it back, motherfucker. but alas, it was not to be.
Did either of you read the Orcs book from Boom?
No, I saw that it was a tie-in to some fucking actual play podcast.
Oh, is it? I didn't even read anything about it. I just saw it was a number one, and I like Orcs, so I checked it out, and I thought it was cute. That's all.
Yeah?
Nothing really to write home about. Art's cute. Story's okay. Cute.
Well, that's cool.
Thought it was fine.
Nice.
Enjoyed my time reading it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad you enjoyed it. What else came out this week? Did you guys read Bliss number 5?
I did. Yeah. And I realized I had almost forgotten about Bliss.
Me too.
Yeah. I had the same experience.
It's very thematic about the book.
Yeah. It's another okay issue. I thought it was, like, fine. It's the same thing where it's dovetailing the son and the father, but in this issue it's sort of like we're starting to get into the father's redemption arc, I guess. Which is him, you know, getting all his memories back after being blissed out and trying to make amends by, I guess, killing the god who makes bliss. So I like
very Final Fantasy of you, guy's father.
It's the kind of stuff that, like, there. It's intriguing, but it just can't. It still can't, like, quite get it all together in a way that is compelling. Really, it also just felt like this issue was the first time I felt like, wow, this book is like has a very kind of like simplistic outlook on the effects of taking the drug Bliss. At least I feel like it does.
No, I'd agree with that.
Like, it's like...
There's not really a lot here, is there?
No, like, there's really not. I mean, the art is great, like, but this issue even, like, there were none of those, like, really breathtaking moments. that some of the past issues have had. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, you take Bliss so you forget like how shitty your life is, and then sometimes you go to therapy and it gets better because we buried you in a we tried to drown you and then we buried you in a grave and then you got your memories back. And it's that simple. I just wish there was more here.
Remember when the first issue was like, wow, this looks like it could be a kind of a deep book. This guy's got to defend his sociopathic dad who murdered a shitload of people.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, that's crazy. And then I was just like, people sad, so they take drugs so they can forget sad. And it's like, yeah, that definitely happens.
Yeah. I thought, good observation. Good job, dude. It really is kind of like we live in a society.
A little bit, to a certain degree.
Like, there's a little bit more going on than that, but it's like, it just is not. And I mean, at this point, like, there's three issues left. I might as well see it out, but
yeah, mm-hmm.
It's, you know, not hitting. It hasn't been hitting.
I decided to love myself this week, and I didn't read Rorschach.
Oh, good. You're going on this journey with Alex and I, where we're freeing ourselves from the bad Tom King comic. That's good.
Well, I was the last person left because I didn't get the memo that no one else was reading it.
Well, there wasn't a memo. I just sort of decided I didn't want to read it anymore. And at the same time, you all decided to stop reading it
at the same time, and I didn't. Well, I didn't. So
I was talking to Alex earlier today, and he was like, "I'm going to go read Rorschach number 5 so I can talk about it on the podcast." And he like pulled it up and started reading. He's like, "Wait, I didn't read Rorschach number 4. I'm not going to do this." And
oh yeah, Rorschach number 4 was wild. I was tempted to read it, but I gave you guys a rundown of it, but yeah, as always, cannot fucking remember what happened other than, like, I don't know, reincarnation.
Rorschach's back. You remember that guy you liked from Watchmen?
Everybody's favorite character.
Yeah.
Yay.
Scarenthood ended this week.
Oh, well, it did, and then there's gonna be more.
Yeah, it did and it didn't.
I don't think I want more of this. This felt like such a 4-issue comic, and now it's like, no, we got another arc coming. It's like, yay, it's getting bigger, and there's lore, and apparently fairies and shit, and I don't know if I care that much.
See, the thing is, I really liked
the one panel that I sent you guys in the group chat of the old lady,
yeah,
saying, and I quote, "You did what? You did fucking what? You dribbly little piss fuck."
It's good.
It's really good.
Here's the thing. I really like the reveal that it's like, oh, there's fairies and, like, you know, devils and they're like enemies with each other and they're also enemies with Christianity. Like, I'm like, okay, this is like a good, like, this is a good ending. Like, cool. Like, you revealed this stuff. It's like a kind of a long last issue. You do all this reveal stuff, wrap up the plot. Cool. We're good to go. And then at the end arc 1 or whatever it says at the end, and I'm like, oh well, like,
and then one of the characters is like, I think we're fucked.
Yeah
It's like, oh boy,
like, I'll probably come back, like, I'll probably read the next arc because I did like these 4 issues. I think the character work has like been consistently really strong, and the supernatural stuff also works for, like, it works as a horror comic, I think. Not as well as, like, other stuff. But it works as a horror comic, it works as a character study. So, like, on both those axes, like, it's really good. I just would like, maybe I'll read the next arc and I'll be like, yeah, okay, awesome, cool. I'm glad this, you know, went on. I'm glad that we got to see more of this world. Like, to an extent, now I'm like, I'm interested because I like this, so I'm interested to see more. But I feel like this is such, like, a perfect 4-issue story. Like, it feels like the story is done, right? Or it could have been done.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know that, like, upping the stakes and upping the scale is going to be as compelling to me as, like, this small town story about, like, disappearances in a small town and the way that that's sort of, like, wreaked havoc on the people who live there, or a small number of the people who live there over time. But we'll see, I guess, going forward, if it's sort of a wait and see type thing, and I like this issue, so I don't want to come across as being like too down on it, because I think it, if nothing else, there's a 4-issue mini that you can read that is like a really solid horror comic.
Yeah,
I agree. Like, I'll keep reading it. I feel like it could have been like a really good 4-issue and we're done,
Yeah.
And now it has, like, the opportunity to fuck itself up because, like, usually going bigger is better isn't always the case.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried it's going to fall into that trap.
It's always, there's always that, like, little, it is always like that thing where it's like, yeah, it ended really well and now you're doing more and bigger and it's like, well, we'll, you know.
Yeah.
It feels like a double-edged sword almost. But yeah, it's a good ending. I would highly recommend if like, any of it sounds like something that you would be interested in reading. Like, this is a good, like, little horror comic that I would recommend.
Yeah.
Cool. What else did you all read this week?
Another thing that I read that no one else read was, I read King Tank Girl, and I liked it because I like Tank Girl, and the art was good. It's, King Tank Girl is, just, like, Tank Girl has, like, an action figure series that she collects that's loosely based off of Masters of the Universe, and the last one that she's missing is really rare, and there's supposed to be one in England. So they go over to England, and in the process of trying to find this action figure, she uses the tank to blow up the rock that Excalibur is stuck in. And so she gets Excalibur, and they make her the King of England. And it's just, you know, hijinks ensue. It's
nice.
All of the issues are, like, it's several little mini, like, episodes. Like, there's the King Tank Girl parts, and then there's, like, another part where they're, like, at the beach. And, like, I don't know. It was cute. It was fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
I liked it.
Tank Girl's good.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was, I had never heard of that, but.
I saw it when I was looking up the list of new comics, and I was like, oh, I like Tank Girl, I'll check this out. There's, like, 3 issues out now.
Neat. Yeah, that sounds fun. I guess what's left is, like, Homesick Pilots is the one thing that we probably all read.
Yay!
Pilots
3?
What do you guys think of Homesick Pilots 3? Yeah, I like it, too. Chad?
Still good.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone likes Homesick Pilots.
I'm very concerned about what's going to happen next with, like, with Homeboy getting in the house and getting the horseshoe man. And all that fun. So there's nothing can be good when the house starts acting up. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Yes.
And she's starting to find evil ghosts that aren't from the house, and it's like,
oh, yeah, I really liked the videotape ghost. That was cool.
That she thought was from the house, but then she opens the door and there's another ghost, and she's like, oh,
fuck.
Not good, folks. Not good.
Turns out, not all ghosts are good.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, no, this book's good. I like the horror stuff. Again, like, I like the horror stuff that it does.
I love a good house horror.
Yeah, I also, but I am kind of glad, too, that, like, it seems like they're reuniting the characters, kind of, because, like, this issue is, like, the last couple issues have had, what's her name, Amy is the main character? Like,
it's kind of like Amy going or Ami.
Okay. I've been reading it as Amy, but I guess it's A-M-I, and I don't know, I've never seen that before.
Could be either.
Yeah, but she's, like, going around and, like, seeing her friends, but they obviously can't see her. So I don't know, like, obviously it's kind of concerning that the devil man is talking to her friends now, but it may, you know, we may get to see them interact with each other again, which will be, I think, a good direction for the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid week for comics overall. The one other thing that I read, that I don't think either of you read, was, let me pull up the title of it really quickly. It's Black Hammer Visions, 1. Which, of course, takes place in the world of Black Hammer. But this is, like, a series of, like, side stories in the Black Hammer universe that, like, are about characters who aren't the superheroes. And this one, it was written by Patton Oswalt, of all people.
Interesting. And
but it takes place during the time period when the characters are stuck in the town. And it's about these two high school girls who are graduating, and I guess have graduated, and sort of like think are like reflecting on their time in school. Cause like it's a small town, everyone went to school, but they're like, what about that weird Gale kid who was around when we were in like 4th and 5th grade? And then there was her cousin who looked exactly like her, but was a couple years younger than us. Well, we were in 7th and 8th grade, who was, of course, you know, Gail. But I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good sort of one of those stories. It's like, oh, this is how like this person, you know, this character who is a main character in the main story sort of like had this other impact on these characters who we've never seen before and we'll never see again. Rather not seen again. So I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. I don't know if Patton Oswalt's written comics before, but he did a pretty good job.
Cool.
So I like that. But yeah, I think that's gonna do it for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, maybe. Yeah. That's all the comics. Cool. No one read the DC Valentine's Day special.
No.
Nice. Good for us.
Oh, I have one last thing that I would like to share that isn't comic related, but I think will make Chad laugh, and that's really my only goal here. Are either of you familiar with a series called Fate? Like Fate the Grand Order, or like they all have like subtitles, but it's like a video game series and there's like an anime. It's not important if you know it.
Like, I feel like there's like what, Fate Stay Night?
And yes, that was an anime? Yeah, like there's several of them. I don't know all the names because I'm not really
into fandom. There's a couple episodes of one back a long time ago and thought it was just insufferable garbage.
There's a gacha game that I have a couple friends.
That's probably related, actually. I believe that's probably all
Fate
same
fandom. Fate Grand Order or something like that.
Yes, yeah, that's one of them. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is that there was the name of one of the characters in the Fate series was trending on the trending main page of Korean Twitter for about 10 hours. In the past, I don't remember if this was yesterday or the day before. And the reason is that a Japanese cosplayer posted a picture of themselves, like, dressed as the character, and revealed that they had a huge penis. Like, just like ridiculously large penis. Like I've
the
seen
character
the
or the cosplayer?
No, the cosplayer. It was a lewd image with a barely pixelated penis, and I've seen it, and they're not kidding. It's that's a big penis.